Hello, everybody, and welcome back. So, long story short, I've been watching this guy on YouTube. You should definitely check him out. His name is Savage Books. Absolutely amazing. And he talks about stories in games, movies, TV shows, in writing, literature, all of those things. And he is absolutely amazing. And I came across this one where he talks about crippling characters for the benefit of a story. I brought Becky here today, who has basically written an essay in preparation for all of this.
Look, I can't do thoughts as they come. I gotta write it out.
Yes, we watched it together fairly recently so that she could check it out and give some opinions on it.
Indeed, indeed.
So without further ado, Becca.
Oh, okay. Well,
do you want to just read your thing, or do you want to talk about it first?
But we should talk about basically what the idea is.
The idea.
Yeah. So basically, what we're talking about is why crippling your characters and stories, like, makes the story better. Like, how does it make the story better? And, like, things like that, you know? Like,
and what kind of stories could benefit from having a crippled character
indeed.
At a point?
We should define what is crippling your character.
Well, as an example that Savage Books gave on YouTube, there is Thor, the original movie, mm-hmm. where he loses his hammer and thus his powers. And like he says in there that the story isn't whether or not he can beat spoilers, but no, it's Thor. If you haven't seen it yet, get a life or something. How the story isn't whether or not he could beat Loki and the whatever metal man, I don't remember what it was, Destroyer or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It's whether or not Thor can grow as a character enough to be worthy of his power again, mm-hmm. which is amazing. It's a great, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not a great movie, but it's a great story.
Indeed, yes.
The same thing kind of again in Thor Ragnarok, where he loses the hammer again and his ability, and he has to do like a self-discovery journey.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out who he is.
Yeah, so basically crippling your character is like making them lose something that's like important to them, like in who they are. Like in like fantasy things, it could be like they lose their power or like, you know, something. Or I don't know, he gave an example about this guy who was like an awesome sword fighter and la di da da, who got his hand cut off.
From Game of Thrones, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And so now he had to learn, like, how to move forward from that.
And, yeah, and he became a better person because of it,
mm-hmm.
supposedly. I haven't seen it, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, just basically that, like, crippling the characters, it leads to more growth than they would otherwise have for lots of reasons.
Yeah, some of the things I came up with when we were talking is, like, when you cripple your character, you're forcing your character to come up with something else to do, and it explores them as a character and what they would do basically for any situation you put them into. You can also by crippling them and then having them either overcome it with the cripple or overcoming the cripple itself,
mm-hmm.
you can send a specific type of message in your story that can help emphasize something.
Yes.
And you can also, like, given a situation, just hypothetical, like Superman, right, who's already all-powerful and can take care of stuff, suddenly isn't there anymore. Somebody else has to step up in the situation until Superman can come back, or they become the new Superman and stuff. There's a lot of things it could lead into.
So it allows not only for the main character's growth, but growth of other characters who have to,
and the growth of your message.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of growth here.
Yeah. Growth by anti-growth. Growth by loss.
Indeed, it's quite interesting. So yeah. Anyway, since I can't organize my thoughts as I speak, I had to like write out a couple paragraphs.
Yeah, we were doing stuff.
Oh.
And she's just sitting there on her phone. Typing.
Walking through the store, Liam's trying to get groceries. I'm like following him on my phone, like
this generation and their phones.
Yup.
Anyway, go ahead and share some of your thoughts.
Yeah, so basically this is kind of like what happens when you cripple your character, like benefits of it, what comes from it. Which is basically, yeah. Anyway, let's get into it. Wow. Quality. Okay. So, first of all, it allows for character growth. Wow. Anyway, by crippling the character, you force them to find new and creative ways to work through and around things that they might have not had trouble with before. Liam already mentioned that one. How they have to like become creative because they can't just go the route that they always did because they lost that thing. Whatever it may be. In that place of vulnerability, they may be forced to see things from a new perspective and maybe even rearrange some of their beliefs. This can improve the character by changing them for the better, or if the character is unable to rearrange their beliefs and accept reality for the way it is, this can destroy the character, driving them to either depression, madness, even death. It just depends, you know? But like, there's the, you have the two types of stories, the one where the character overcomes it and the one where it overcomes the character, you know? And there's lots of things you can do with that. Like in Les Mis, Javert cannot come to terms with these conflicting things with his beliefs, and so he's like, I'm out.
Yeah, and he just kind of disappears.
Yes. With a little bit of a
it's more like a
anyway, if you haven't seen Les Mis, watch it. It's
a really great. Really great story.
Anyway.
Before we move on from that,
yeah.
A story I think could really benefit by, like you said, helping their character grow would be Demon Slayer. And all of my friends know I bash on it a lot, which apparently is unheard of because it's apparently the greatest show to have ever been created of all time, according to some people.
Except it's actually just top mid.
It's like a mid top show at best. It's, I don't know. Tanjiro is my biggest issue. Well, one of them. He doesn't ever change at all. He's never had a true cripple or a loss. Sure, he's broken bones and stuff, but he just continues to do what he's always done with those broken bones.
Yeah, it doesn't change the way he has to do things.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe at the very beginning, it's been a little bit, but maybe he has to, like, come to terms with killing a demon, I think. I don't... Even then, that's, like, very, very minor thing. Because the demons murdered his whole family, which is a different topic. So, like, I don't know. I wouldn't have no qualms killing someone who murdered my family. Zero. No hesitation. I would just off them.
I imagine. But, yeah, it's like he... Any of those, like, struggles, he overcomes them way too easily, and it doesn't really affect his character and or
the way he thinks. Any
significant ways, yeah.
He never has to change.
And so it's just kind of boring and flat.
I like it when characters are forced into a situation where they have to think differently or do something differently.
Exactly.
And he never has to do either of those, which is very sad.
Yeah. So continuing with this, basically, you know, the cripple can be on a scale of, like, how crippling it is, you know, varies in the story and what you're trying to do, but if it's like a big cripple, basically it's like the make it or break it moment for the character, you know, by taking away something core to like who a character is, you're basically, it can be like stripping the footholds of their sense of self from them.
Yeah.
And putting them in a place where to move forwards, they have to figure out who they really are. They don't have those footholds anymore. They gotta...
Oh, it reminds me of a story. I can't think of it right now. Keep going.
Okay, well, yeah. So they've really got to dive into themselves, face their flaws, discover what's really important to them, because to make a comeback, they have to rebuild those footholds from the ground up, basically. And, you know, like, really rearrange. It's like breaking something down to, like, rebuild it, and it's stronger, you know, kind of situation. But, yeah, it also can strengthen their values and morals and sense of identity, and, like, in a way that they didn't have before.
And I think another thing to add on to that, Savage Books mentioned that, and I think it was referencing Toph in Avatar The Last Airbender, where you can use the cripple to help, what was the phrase he used? I think it was like to reaffirm their abilities and whatnot. So you cripple them for a moment and then in something else, and it forces you to, it forces an affirmation again of,
yeah, of like,
what they can do and of
who
like,
their character is.
And of a title or something. Like when she starts to bend metal, it just reaffirms her title of the world's greatest earthbender.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy stuff. If you haven't seen Avatar, it may be a kid's show, but is that show amazing.
It's amazing, like, and fairly dark at some parts.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway. Yeah.
Zuko is the best character.
Watch Avatar.
No question. Zuko is such a good character. He talks about him as well when he goes through his loss of his firebending when he swaps to Aang's side.
Yeah.
And he has to find a different way to fuel himself. It's super, super important to his character.
Yes.
Because it just affirms his choice in going with Aang, finding this new source for his firebending. And it's amazing. It just makes his character so much better.
So good. His character arc. Amazing. Heck yes. Oh, I had one last little thing. That also, by breaking down a character like this, you're able to explore deeper into their motivations and stuff, their weaknesses and strengths, the things that make them the way they are, which really fleshes out characters and makes them more realistic and authentic. And we all know having a complex character is not only more interesting, but also more relatable to us as the audience. And having relatable characters does so many great things. We could talk about that for ages.
Yeah, I know. That's an entirely different subject. Like, and it's not that like you have to cripple all characters and whatnot to make them relatable at all.
Yeah, no.
There's One Punch Man, Saitama. He's such a relatable character. Like, yes. No, I missed the sale. But none of us can relate to him in the fact, you know, kill anything with one punch.
Yeah.
There's plenty of different ways to work around it. It's just...
Yes.
There's
lots of different ways to flesh out a character.
Yeah.
This is just one of the ways.
And I think a lot... Damn it, Sire! Could benefit from crippling characters.
Indeed.
And forcing them to think outside the box in some way.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
There's also another one. We haven't watched that video. About the control character.
Oh.
Which is really cool. And it made me realize that, spoilers for Attack on Titan, that Eren is a control character in season 4.
It's
very interesting.
Said something to me.
Yeah, it's
before.
So cool. I'll have to have you watch that one at some point. Yes. It is amazing. He talks about Thanos and stuff with all of his stuff. There was another movie with Denzel Washington, amazing actor.
Ooh.
But I don't know what the movie was called or whatever, but he talks about with the control characters, their defining moment that really solidifies who they are is the downfall of the control character.
Yes.
Is when they lose control and are subject to something else at that point. The one with Denzel Washington, he loses control because his opponent becomes like a bomber with himself.
Okay.
I don't want to say words just in case.
Okay.
And then to the very end, his character is sophisticated. He walks out and half his face is missing. But he walks out, strains his tie, and falls to the ground dead. Solidifying that he wasn't grasping for control the whole time.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing.
That is quite a way to go out. Wow.
I know, seriously.
But yeah, as that, like, in other stories, you see when the character loses control like that, they, instead of remaining, like, composed and stuff, they, like, freak out and, and, like, break down, and it's just kind of like, ugh.
And then what's amazing is that you can compare those situations to each other to establish character growth.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to go back to Attack on Titan because it is literally just a masterpiece in every aspect of itself.
So good.
In the very beginning, when Eren loses his family, you go monster raging, I'm going to kill all the Titans. And at the very, very, very end, that's not in the anime yet, when he finally loses to his friends, he's calm, peaceful, just accepts it to show that he has grown as a character. It is so amazing.
So good. Ugh.
I can't get over how good it is. It really is my favorite TV show ever.
Literally. Like, not even favorite anime, but favorite TV show.
Yeah, just in general. Anyone who hasn't seen it should see it, because it has a lot of deep messages to share about racism, about war, about a lot of things.
And just, like, incredible story writing. Like, oh my gosh.
And, like, the fact, oh my gosh, we're gonna get off topic here. But they wrote the story and put it where the actual story is season 4. That is the story. But they put us ahead of time with where seasons 1 through 3 are the origin story for the antagonist of season 4.
Yes.
Which is amazing, because it makes the antagonist relatable at the very end. And not relatable. Well, at least understandable.
Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff.
And it helps solidify one of the other messages of that the world isn't black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody's killing and murdering a bunch of people doesn't mean that they're an evil person.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot more to it. A lot more depth.
It's so amazing. Anyway, sorry. That was a...
tangent.
Very out there tangent. But you have anything else to add? Is that...
Heck, I feel like there was something else to talk about, but...
Nope, nothing.
Crippling characters.
Yeah, do it. Make him... If a character doesn't have to go through something and struggle... and like have to overcome anything with any difficulty, it's not a very interesting character.
Mm-mm, it's really not.
Then again, there's exceptions like One Punch Man, where there's no difficulty for him.
Well, that is his difficulty,
though. Is that there's no difficulty. that's very well done.
That is just a fun show. That is.
It's a great show. So excited for season 3. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's it for everything that we have to say about that.
Yeah.
If you guys want us to do more character stuff, unless Becca has something else.
There was actually one other thing.
Oh yeah,
that
go ahead.
They mentioned in the video was that when they overcome it, there's the two things where they overcome it and get their power back and then defeat the opposition, right? Or there's when they don't get it back and they defeat the opposition anyway. Oh, and bro, that's so good.
Yeah, like you said, I think it was in Superman Returns, maybe?
Yes, something like that.
But I don't actually know what movie it was.
I have no clue.
Anyway, yeah, just so many.
Yeah, but they overcome it with... like their own, they find a new like inner strength, you know.
Yeah,
that's not what they had before, and you know,
you use the cripple to have them grow.
It's really inspiring, because you know, to us as audience, we like to see people prevail even in situations like that, because it kind of like gives us hope, like maybe I can do that, maybe I can, you know, stand up against whatever life throws at me and like,
yeah, or succeed in a situation anyway. Where you
seems
helpless.
Like all odds are against you.
Yeah.
You
super inspiring.
Through, you go beyond plus ultra.
I'm never watching that show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm never watching that.
You're missing out.
Young Miboria. That's funny though.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I think that's it for this
yep.
episode. Thank you for listening.
Peace out.
Before Becca ends it early, if you have anything else you want us to discuss or something that you disagree on, message me. I don't care.
He likes to debate.
I do like to debate. We should do a debate for the next one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm not good at debates.
We're going to debate.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's go, baby. All right. Anyway. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.